Worshipper in me wants to be free. From the cares of life that seem to weigh me down. Yes, the worship in me wants me to lift my hands and give you praise when no one's around. Oh, the worshiper in me wants to break free from the intellectual mentality. Like when I should be up, I'm seated in my seat. I should be lifting my hands, giving you praise and glory. From the intellectual mentality, like when I should be up, I'm seated in my seat. I should be lifting my hands, giving you praise and glory.
Yeah. shepherd, no need to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me, and you've restored me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy sees. You've anointed me, now I'm overflowing. You've been true to your word, you won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say, my shepherd, no need to worry. And when I'm thirsty, you're there to lead me through the valley. Your hand will guide me, and you've restored me when I'm weary. Prepare a table for me that my enemy sees. You've anointed me, now I'm overflowing. You've been true to your word, you won't lead me astray. So I'll stand and say,
Amen. Was that beautiful or what? I'm serious. We can do a little bit better than that. Let's give them a hand. I won't be afraid, because I know that you're with me and that your rod and your staff comforts me. Amen. What better thing than to continue to build the word of God in our young people and through our young children? I'm telling you, because that's all we have. It's his word. Amen. And David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And we just want to continue to encourage them, support them, even Lauren, up here, and thank God, amen, for all that's going on with what they're doing. We want to continue to be a support to our children. Amen. It's one thing if you don't want to support a certain person or something, I pray for you. But it's another thing when we can't support our children. Amen. We've got to be supportive to our children. Amen. And that's what the Bible requires for us. All of you that have your Bibles, please turn. Thank God for all of our mothers that are here in the place. We thank God for you all. All of you that have your Bibles, if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. "Wherefore, seeing we are also all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience that is before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not resisted unto the blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation," or "don't forget the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thy chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastises, and whom he scourges, every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastising of God, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he who the Father chastises not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and sons. Furthermore, you have had fathers after your flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather in subjection unto the Father of spirits live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but for our own profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastisement in the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, guess what? It yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up thy hands that hang down, and thy feeble knees, and make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without. No man can see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or one profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. But he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And guess what? I know we say it all the time when we read this many scriptures that we're not going to try to preach this whole thing seriously. That's not really what the Lord laid on my heart, to preach this whole passage. But I will tell you what, this verse right here, where it says, follow peace with all men, holiness without, no man can see the Lord. Then it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, of any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. And then verse 5 says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. Amen. And you know, I don't really get in a title. Sometimes I don't even have a title. But if I could give this a title, it would be, don't forget the exhortation. Amen. Don't forget the exhortation when he calls you son, as God calls you son. Amen. If you're a daughter, God calls you daughter. Don't forget the exhortation. Don't forget that exhortation. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we bless and we praise your name to know that you alone are worthy of the very glory and all possible honor. It all belongs to you. God, we thank you, oh God, to know that we are but as dust. Our lives are like a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. And God, we live our lives, some people, like they're going to be here forever. But God, you're speaking in this last day. You're speaking even in this last hour. Oh God, you're speaking loud and clear through the earth, through the earthquakes, through the calamities, through the sexual sins and perversion. Everything that's going wrong in this world, God, you're speaking to us. And you said, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, that you just continue to break, shape, and fashion our hearts that is conducive to you, conducive to your voice, conducive to your love, and conducive to your grace. To know that by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, but is the perfect gift of God. God, I thank you just for who you are. Just continue, even in this message, to direct me, to handle me. Oh God, to crucify my very flesh. To know that Paul said, I'm crucified with you. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now lives. And the life that we now live, we live by the love of him who gave his life for us. So God, we love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 Forget not the exhortation. And I just thank God, thank God, thank God for everybody in the place. Amen. God is worthy of the glory. Kind of, amen. We gave Reverend Williams, he just got off the road not too long ago. But we gave him off, thank God for him. And thank God for the word that was preached on last week. Amen. By Minister Tober, we are blessed. And in this text, in chapter 11, we just thank God for what was going on in this writer of Hebrews. What was going on in chapter 11, even the preceding chapter, the encouragement that we have through these faith heroes. In chapter 11 goes on and on and on to talk about the faith heroes and how, and it's something how, you can map the book of Genesis, even more than just the book of Genesis, even Moses and Exodus, but a lot of the Old Testament, you can map it through these faith heroes in chapter 11. And chapter 11 is almost like an encyclopedia of faith. So when your faith gets low, guess what? We can read chapter 11 and see how by faith, right? When the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Amen. That means we don't have it. But by faith, we can receive the promises of God by faith. Amen. We don't see it. We don't feel it. Right? All the time. And that's why I thank God for that song they sung. That I won't be afraid of the hand of the enemy. Amen. For even when you're going through a dark time or a rough patch, guess what? You know God is your rod and your staff. You believe that by faith. Amen. And I'm telling you, your faith, you see, the Bible talks about weak faith or strong faith or faith failure, which we're going to talk about today. But how that our faith is strengthened through the word of God. Amen. And our faith is strengthened through tests and trials. And if we never have any tests or trials, how will we know how strong our faith is? Or better yet, how will we grow our faith? Amen. And I'm telling you right now, when we in the church are not in this word of God, and we're not in Bible study, and we're not in this word for ourselves personally, amen, you, man, a trial will come, an attack or a mighty blow of the devil will come, and you'll just, man, you'll just lose your mind, right? You'll just wonder why. You'll scream the blues. You'll cry the blues. You'll call everybody else. And think it strange, why is this thing happening to me? Instead of knowing his word and applying his word, that when the rubber hits the road, you will know that you have an anchor of faith. That's what this is about. Y'all, Lord, it's not just about getting to heaven. It's not just, don't get me wrong, that's the ultimate, that's the end game. But while we're on this journey, while we're on this road, amen, called life, and life happens, we've got to know that we have an abundant faith. We have an anchor in Jesus Christ. We've got to know it. Amen. And you think about it's faith. Through faith, we understand in 11:3 that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen, which are not made, are things which do appear. Right? And so even the world itself was brought forth by faith. Amen. And we can go on and on and on and on and on. In this chapter, when Moses went to the Red Sea by faith, holding up his rod and his staff and seeing the waters part. Amen. By faith, over and over again. But then in chapter 12 reflects back on chapter 11. And so in 12:1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great of cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? Every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Right? And I'm telling you, when we look back, I'm telling you, this book of Genesis, hallelujah. Thank God for it. And if I'm the only one that gets excited today, it's okay. I can tell you personally what God is doing in my life. Even through getting up every morning at 6 o'clock, guess what? We're going to take a little break after Genesis. But not too long, amen? But getting up every morning, and we're going to be fasting every Tuesday to the end of this book. Amen. Amen. As a church. But getting up every morning at 6 o'clock, amen, is doing something to our faith. Man, we're seeing things that we've never seen before. And I'm telling you, it's like the word of God is revamped, renewed, and refreshed in us. And it's like I'm reading this again for the first time. And I said last week, amen, 2 weeks ago, man, I like new, like when you put on a new shirt or a new jacket or a new sweater and it smells new. Amen. This word, it's like brand new every day because it's living. It's living. It's living. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book. And it is what? Written of me to do thy will. And not only that, But it, listen, and this, listen, this chapter 12 is really like a summation of the book of Hebrews. And so when it says, wherefore, seeing that also we are compassed about with such great a witnesses, right? Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Let us run this race with patience. Yes. That is set before us. We all have a race to run. We all have a charted course for life. Regardless of what you go through, what you experience, regardless of what family you come from, if you're saved, we all have a course to run. And guess what? We got to run it by faith. We've got to run this thing by faith. And I'm telling you, if you are not in this word of God, you have dead faith. It's the faith that makes this word alive. And then verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, he's the author. That means he's the creator and the producer of our faith. Not only that, but he's the finisher of our faith. So he's the author of our faith. You didn't muster up faith. You didn't get saved and raise your hand, and it was your faith you conjured up. And you pulled yourself up and you said, I'm going to believe. But how many know it was God that called you? It was his faith that he put in you. And faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You didn't call yourself. You weren't that cute, as Reverend Williams likes to say. You weren't that cuddly. Amen. But guess what? It was God that called you. It was God that saved you. It was God, amen, that placed his love upon you. And it says, I ain't got to turn there. Amen. It says in the book, I believe it's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's not because you were so mighty. And see, some people got nerve to get saved, come out of the world, used to be one thing, now you're in the world. You got the nerve to think you cleaned yourself up. You got the nerve to think you just showed up. You got the nerve to think, say you was all that in a bag of chips. But guess what? It's the grace of God. And it's by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it's okay. But when you look at the life of Abraham, when you look at the life of Jacob, you look at the life of Isaac, and we see how they bump their heads over and over again. How the natural man will come in again, over and over again. And the mess that they were, that's why we can say we're a mess. Come on. Amen. That's why we can say we're a mess when we get done preaching. Because the only good thing is in me is Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, if there's anything good in me, it's because of him. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade who I am for all the money in the world. I wouldn't trade my tests and obstacles for all the money in the world. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and the fact that a holy God would send his only begotten son to come down. Amen. Who are we? Who do we think we are? That he would be mindful of us, to forgive us, to put us on a roll call straight, that I could be in my right mind, put on a tie and a suit and a shirt. It wasn't me, but it's the grace of God. Amen. It's the grace of God. Amen. And that's why I thank God. Listen, I'm sorry, in Deuteronomy, verse 7, let me calm down. The Lord did not set 7, 7, 7, 7. The Lord did not set his love on you or chose you because you were more in number than any people. So in case you get the big head, listen, you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord what? Loved you. And because he would keep his oath that he has sworn with the fathers. Well, he swore with Abraham. What? The promise that was given of the seed that will come through. Amen. Have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the byman and out of the hand of Pharaoh the king. Right? And know therefore the Lord God, he is God. He's God. He's your exceeding and great reward. It's him. It's him. And a lot of times in my trials, it's God trying to get me out of his way. And he's just waiting for me to move and go somewhere and die. We say go somewhere and sit down. No, we got to go somewhere and die. Amen. Amen. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. And follow. It's God. And it's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. Which them that keep the, it's the faithful God. He's, and I heard it last week, coming through powerfully in the message. The faithfulness of even when we didn't see it or we didn't feel it, man, his faithfulness to keep us. Amen. And sustain us and deliver us even when we messed up. And that's where we shake our head because, you know, without going through the book of Genesis, we think Abraham was perfect. Man, we think Sarah was just the cutest thing since sliced bread. But man, when you look at the mess of these homes, hey man, you weren't that good. But it was his grace and his mercy that he bestowed upon them. That he would keep his promise that he swore to himself. Amen. And keepeth the covenant and the mercy with them that love him. And what? Keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Amen. And in this text in chapter 11, those whose were victorious faith. And in this chapter 12 refers to one who had a faith failure. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging all these converts in the midst of their suffering and in the midst of their persecution. Because they were going through, man, they were going through some tough times. Amen. And the writer of Hebrews, who we believe it was Paul, but for whatever reason, it doesn't give the author's name, says, don't fall like your fathers in the wilderness. Amen. But he gives them this encyclopedia of faith. But more importantly, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of your faith. Don't harden your hearts like your fathers. Hebrews 4:8 says that they that fell in the day of provocation. And in the temptation in the wilderness. And we all need encouragement in this word. Amen. Because when we are beat down of life, guess what, y'all? It's so easy to make a natural decision. And we see over and over again in the book of Genesis where they make natural decisions. Amen. And a lot of the soul music that we listen to. Amen. It's an environment for natural decisions. Even coming out of the Jugger Joint and the clubs and B.B. King, right? And the guitar and the blues and all these things coming out of oppression and all of the things that we've gone through. It's so easy just to fall into naturalism. Amen. And even our black experience, we know we got the Black Experience channel now, right? And we got everything. We want a black section. We want a black genre and all this. And listen, I thank God for black history. And I thank God for knowing who I am in Christ. But if you don't know who you are in Christ first, amen, you won't know who you are in black history. Amen. Because my Bible says every tongue, every nation, every kindred, there will be one voice in heaven. There won't be in a black experience section in heaven. Amen. Amen. But there won't be, listen, there won't be a black section in heaven. Amen. Amen. And listen, I wouldn't trade who I am. I'm proud. To be who I am in Christ and the black man or the black woman that you are. And we're going to trace all the way back to Genesis where the stigmatism came in. That belonging, somebody say belonging is everything. See, my belonging in Christ supersedes my blackness. Amen. It supersedes all these other things. Because you better know who you are and of whom you are. And the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. That there's no more bond, there's no more free, there's no more Jew, there's no more Gentile. Amen. Scythian. Amen. We've all been made to drink from the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. And here in Hebrews 12:5, it says, don't forget the exhortation. This word, and that don't forget the exhortation in 12:5 of our text means the word of encouragement, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, right? He calls you what? He calls you son. He calls you daughter. Amen. Just listen, we're going to do, I don't do the, say something to the left and something to the right. But if you sit next to somebody and they're a son, they're a man. Amen. Now you got to be. They say you got to be politically correct. Amen. But guess what? That's out the window in here. If it's a man, it looks like a man. If it's a woman, it looks like a woman. And here we got today Tony Dungy and different people coming under fire from calling out, amen, what's going wrong in America? And what, they want to put gender-neutral bathrooms in our schools. They say because there may be some boys that are uncomfortable from going in the bathroom. Amen? Amen? So they need to go into gender-neutral because they're really not boys. Amen? But listen, I'm telling you, listen, more than ever, we've got to know who we are. We've got to train our children in the word. Amen. To know who they are. And so it says, do not forget the exhortation. They even got litter boxes in some of the bathrooms. Yeah, because there's some people in, some girls, they identify themselves with cats. Amen. And if somebody tell you they're a cat, you got to respect their rights. Amen. Amen. Reverend Reginald Wright, who will be here in April, he said, if a person tell you they're a microphone, you got to accept them as a microphone. Amen.
Amen. And that's all a product of the lie. That the devil, man,
amen. That means that's your belonging. That's your, maybe it was all for a reason. Amen. Don't forget the exhortation. Y'all know what? Listen. One of the most important things in life and in this Christian race, we've got to know that we belong. You belong. And you can write a subpoint. Our belonging is everything. Your belonging is everything. Children, they fall asleep, but I'm going to let them sleep too. Your belonging is everything. We speak it into them while they sleep. Man, I started anointing the house last night, went in a couple of the rooms. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Man, I went in Corey's house. She woke up, See, when they were younger, I could just put that glob of oil on their foreheads. Amen. But she screamed. Then the mama woke up. And guess what? I still kept anointing them. Went in the room and anointed the mama. Went in Josh's room and anointed him. Now, guess what, y'all? We've got to anoint our children. Listen, we've got to train them up in who they are. We've got to validate them in this word of God. And before we can validate them, guess what? I got to know I belong. I got to know I'm validated. I got gotta know I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And thy soul knows right there the reason why depression and anxiety and all these things and people are going through things is because they don't know they belong. They don't know that they're loved. They don't know what manner of love is this. That you should be what? Be called a son of God. It do have not yet appear what I'm going to be. But we know when Jesus comes back, when he cracks the sky, that we're going to be like him. Hallelujah! We've got to know it. And the only way you're going to know you belong, guess what? Is by being broken to this love of Jesus Christ.
That's it.
To be broken to this word of God. Amen. Surface church won't do it. Surface church won't deal with Jacob's house and Laban and Rachel and Leah and the envy and the anger and the mess that was going on in that house. You've got to be broken to this word of God to know who you are. Amen. In Jesus Christ, your belonging makes all the difference in the world. Amen. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I know that he loves me. I'm glad I know that he died for me. I'm glad I know it. That he gave his only begotten son. No goodness of my own, but it's his grace and his mercy. Amen. Where we were plucked up out of the plowshares of the gospel. Amen. And all we could do is submit to his call. Y'all, we've got to submit to his call. We've got to submit to this word. Amen. Because when you know who you are, when you don't know who you are and you're going through attacks, he says, do not forget the exhortation. Right? Right? Which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. Because sometimes we can go through and we can get a whooping. Right? And we get that whooping. And that father or that mother could be whipping you out of love. And my mother would say, I'm whipping you because I love you. And I'd be like, well, don't whip me then. Amen. I didn't understand that at 8.
That's right.
I didn't understand that at 7, Deacon Wright. Man, my grandfather had a paddle with everybody's name on it. And at the end of the paddle, it says, peace in the midst of confusion. That's what it was, the board called the Board of Correction. We didn't understand it when we were in the home. And my mother said, she's small, she little, but she said, I'm going to pick up the first thing I can put my hands on. And I'm going to tear you up, right? Right, Mother Carmeline? Amen. They would tear us up. And now we want to be cute with our children. We want to be friends with our children. Amen. We you know, and I got a couple, boy, they know everything. And I'm like, how you, they know everything. They want to tell you what's going on in the world. They want to tell you what works and what doesn't work. I'm like, you know everything, huh? What'd you say your father used to say? Huh? Man, I'm telling you. Listen, we're called to be their parent. Yes, we love them. Yes. Yes, we're called to love them. But guess what? Don't spare the rod. Guess what? The Bible says a friend indeed will tell you the truth. That's true love. A friend indeed will let you know about yourself. But somebody, amen, an acquaintance will just tell you all good things that you want to hear. Amen. I need to know the truth about myself. Amen. And that's what this rod of correction, it does. Amen. And one of the greatest accomplishments of Christ, hallelujah, was sending the Holy Ghost. The one of the greatest needs to have is belong. And when we look in this word, right? Jesus says, it's expedient for me to go away. Because if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And when he comes, he'll be in you. He'll be with you. And he will be upon you. Holy Ghost, don't leave me. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost ain't about your feelings. The Holy Ghost ain't about your emotions. But the Holy Ghost, he said, when I come, he will speak all truth. Amen. He can't tell a lie. But when you know that you know that you know that you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got an anchor on the inside that's able to rock you. Likewise, the Spirit searches our infirmities. That even when we don't know what to pray, even when we don't know how to feel, even when we don't know what to think, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost maketh intercession down on the inside with groanings, hallelujah, that can't even be spoken. There's some things that all of us seriously can go through and nobody, no words can get there. But I thank God we got Dr. Jesus, who writes out all of my medicine, who gives me all of my prescription. Even when I don't know what to feel, even when I don't know what to think, guess what? I know I got an anchor living on the inside. And the song says he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I belong. He tells me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He tells me. He holds me. He wraps me. He speaks to me, even when the tears comes down the face. Can't no bottle get there. Can't no pill get there. Can't no drug get there. Man, I'm telling you, this word of God will validate you and will bring you. So we got, listen, don't forget the exhortation when he calls you son. Amen. Because we see here, amen, when God sent the Holy Ghost, he said, don't even do ministry. Don't even cook the chicken. Don't even serve on the kitchen ministry. Don't serve on the pastor's aid. Don't sing in the choir. Amen. Because somebody look at you wrong, you're going to be ready to tell them off. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's able to intercede and make us walk right and talk right. The Bible says, and see, when we don't have the Holy Ghost, when we don't belong, when we don't know where we belong, guess what? We'll make natural decisions. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Man, when you don't know you're loved and you belong, you will make natural decisions. You will. Amen. You'd be like, listen. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Amen. And when you see the clamoring of belonging, even in the book of Genesis. Amen. Through Esau and Isaac. Amen. You see it. Through Ishmael and Isaac. Through Jacob and Esau. You see the clamoring for belonging. Amen. We see it in the homes where and I never read where so much favoritism went on in these homes. In the house between Rebecca and Leah, favoritism. And guess what? It started with the daddy, Jacob. You know, when Sarah said, take my handmaid, or Rachel told Jacob, take his handmaid, take my handmaid. Because, listen, let's turn to 30. We're going to be wrapping this up. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 30 real quick. Amen. Genesis chapter 30. Listen to this. It says when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, the Bible says Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And then we go on in verse 2, and it says, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, what do you want me to do about it? Am I in God's place? That was wrong right there. It was a wrong response. Who hath withheld from thee the fruit? Who God has held thee from the fruit of your womb, not me. Why are you blaming me? That's what he said. Right? And that's the same thing Adam said. And listen, I want to say this. Listen, to all of our men, it starts with the man. Amen. We ain't going to get too many amens. Amen on that. It starts with the father. When God came to Adam, he said, Adam, where are you? He said, where are you? He said, that woman. He tried to pass the buck. And then the woman said, that old serpent. She tried to pass the buck. But sometime God, y'all, this word of God has to center us in his will that we see ourselves and see the responsibility that we need. And the Bible says, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And then it goes on to say, and she said, behold, my maid Bilhah. Jacob, why don't you just go into her? And she shall bear upon my knees, that means surrogate, that that I may also have children. Well, we know that was in the Old Testament, surrogate parenting, but this is not what God wanted for them. Some things might be lawful, but this was not expedient. Amen. And we got to know that. Amen. And I thank God for these preachers back here. We can't get caught up in all the stuff and the debates and all that. Listen, it's about Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, and in this text, even though things were a mess in this house, we see Jesus Christ in this home. Amen. And guess what? Guess what? We see where envy came in. And Rachel despised Leah. And then we see Leah and the mandrakes and the sons. And what they did in that home, they projected. They projected their feelings. They projected their roots. They projected their bitterness onto their children. They project, and y'all, we got to know that. The reason why I need deliverance is so my kids will have deliverance. The reason why I know, listen, we can say the buck stops here. The buck's got to stop with the father and the mother. Amen. To prevent these generational curses. Y'all know generational curses, we just block it out like the Wizard of Oz. Click your heels 3 times, shut your eyes and say, generational curse, go away, go away, go away. No, they don't just go away. Matter of fact, generational curses get stronger. They got stronger in these boys. They got stronger in Simeon. They got stronger in Reuben. That even one of them massacred a family of men. Amen. One of them even had sexual perversion. And Moses, it was Jacob that had to replace Reuben and Simeon with Joseph's kids, Manasseh and Ephraim, because of the curse that was on them two boys. Listen, the curse just don't go away. You've got to know. We've got to identify it before we can look at our children and say, man, I don't know where that boy came from. I don't know where that child came from. Look in the mirror, brother. Amen. You might be saved and is sitting on the deacon pew. I ain't talking about none of these deacons. You might be sitting on the missionary board. But guess what? Let this word of God search you. The word of God is quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Rightly dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And as a discerner even of the intents of my heart. You've got to know. We've got to receive this word with meekness. Amen. Don't look in the mirror like Digging Doug was teaching the other day. He said we can't look in the mirror and just walk away like we didn't see nothing. And then we want to blame our wife and our children. No, it's me. I'm the man in the middle. I'm the man in the mirror. And this word has to search me out. Sometimes it don't feel good. Sometimes the chastisement don't feel good. Sometimes the tribulation and the trouble don't feel good. But if I hold my peace, stay in this word, let this word work on me. Let it root out the things in me. Amen. It starts with the Father. We wonder what's wrong with Philadelphia and the murders and the gun violence. They're cursed because of the fathers. And the fathers will have to stand in judgment and give an account. Man, this home was a mess. But guess what? God still found grace in Jacob. And guess what? It's hope for somebody else. Man, you look, and when she said, going to Billa, going to my handmaid, he could have said, somebody on the line said, he should have just said no. But what'd Jacob do? All right, well, if you want me to do it. That's right. Like father, like son. He went right on in to Billa. And then Leah, she already had children. So why she had to give her handmaiden? Because it was a competition spirit in that home. There was favoritism in that home. And guess what? It worked itself out through the roots in them sons. Visiting the third and fourth generation. Amen. And that's why. Listen, the Bible says, listen, my second point, and we're going to be wrapping this up. The natural decisions fail. Our natural decisions fail the grace of God. They fail the grace of God. Amen. Look at Jacob's house, the hurt, the pain, the envy, the hardship that was produced because of natural decisions and the favoritism. Take a look at how these generational curses continued in the sons and the spirit of trickery. Even the sons had it, and even hate and envy. And Jacob wasn't, man, he wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, was he? And then he favored Joseph. And I'm not saying, listen, Joseph was blessed. Amen. But they envied Joseph. You don't think these, and sometimes we try to, hey, yo, children, go on out the room. Let me talk to your mother. Right? All he did was go in the kitchen by the refrigerator. You don't think they hear your conversations when you're talking about the church people in the church? You don't think these children pick up on your stuff, your gossiping spirit, your envious spirit? Your spirit of jealousy? Well, why didn't the pastor pick me? He didn't call my name out. You don't think your children pick up on this stuff? And the cycle continues. Not only did they pick up on it, but it was stronger in the children. Listen, y'all, that's why we have to know who we are. That's why we have to be in Bible study. That's why we have to be in Sunday school. That's why we can't have surface church. That's why we gotta die to what we feel. That's why we gotta die to what we think. That's why we gotta know this love of Jesus Christ. Because Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. It's gotta be a compelling love. It's gotta be a love that we know that nothing can separate us from this love of Jesus Christ. We've got to know not death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor rulers of things present, nor rulers of things to come, not job experiences, not things that we've gone through, not doctor's reports. We've got to know we belong. We've got to know that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. We've got to know, the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You've got to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, beyond you going on Facebook looking for somebody to accept you, looking for somebody to like you, looking for somebody to bring you in, you've got to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus likes you. You've got to know that he says like, even when you're messed up. You got to turn up and you got to repent
And the Bible says the prodigal son came to himself. And he said, I can be like one of my fathers. Higher service, we serve a loving God. We serve a forgiving God. We serve a God that picks you up, turns around, place your feet on solid ground. And when that prodigal son came back, he wasn't a natural father and turned his back on the son. Even when the brother was gritting on the prodigal son, the Bible says the father ran and he fell on his neck and he extended his arms to the prodigal son and he said, my son who was once dead, my daughter, come on back. I will receive you back to myself. It takes the love of Jesus Christ. When Rachel said, take my handmaid, Jacob made a natural decision. And listen, and this is what the Bible says. Man, listen, I thank God for the cards last week. Man, we are grateful. But if y'all think them cards gonna make me change from preaching the gospel and the word of God to let you know about your sins, guess what? You got another thing coming. I thank you. Amen. Follow peace with all men, verse 14 of our text. Holiness without. No man can see the Lord. Looking diligently. Y'all, this is about Jesus Christ. It's all about him. Even Leah. You see God's hand still working. He didn't take his promise back. Who had Judah. And all these, you know how the sin was projected on the children? And each one of those children had names that meant something. You got to be careful what you name your child. Amen. We try to get cute with naming our children. You better find out what that name means. Joshua and Caleb. Amen. Grace and mercy and hope. And faith? Nah, you don't got faith. Amen. You got to know. Man, you listen, and that could be a point. Don't project, man, your sin onto your children. Don't project the things that you onto your children. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But they're what? Mighty through God. To the what? Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Imagination. We need this word. Bible study ought to be packed. Amen. And we're going to do a breakfast at the end of Genesis. I don't know when it's going to come. We're going to pray on it. Amen. That's another thing. We got to pray on our decisions. You think you got a decision to make? Don't make a natural decision. You got to pray. Seek the Lord. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our what? Sins and griefs to bear. What it is, what a privilege is it to carry. Everything. Even the little decisions. Pray about it before you do it. You don't see where Jacob prayed. You don't see where Abraham prayed. They just, boy, look, a man gonna be a man sometimes if he don't know Jesus Christ. But we've got to pray and give these things to God. The Bible says Jehoshaphat, he set his face to the Lord and he proclaimed a fast. And listen, and guess what? We're going to be fasting every Tuesday. I ain't got to pray about this. This is what the Lord said. These homes we're seeing in the book of Genesis, we're going to be fasting for examination in fathers and in mothers and generational curses in our lives. Amen. That these roots and these things will come down. Some things only go out by what? I'm telling you. Prayer and fasting. But he goes on to say, when we make a natural decision, it produces bitterness. It produces poison and roots. And that's why he said in this 15th verse, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Thereby many, somebody say many. Many to be defiled. Their home was defiled. By, I used to think bitter, you know, old mean face. You can have a nice face or a smiley face and be bitter. That's a poison that's on the inside. And guess what? When God don't deal with the roots, he said the root of bitterness. Guess what? That root will come back. Number three, last point is we have to have a grace relationship. You notice it says he fell. Esau. He failed the grace of God. That's a relationship. That's what grace is. Grace is an unconditional relationship that we don't deserve, that we didn't earn. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. Romans 5:2 says, we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So basically, we have access by faith into this unconditional love affair through the word of God with Jesus Christ. And then we know Paul. My grace is sufficient. Don't forget the exhortation that he calls you son. Don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. Don't fail the grace of God. This is an exhortation that he's given to them, and we are giving it to you. The word is, don't let your hands hang down. Feeble your knees. Make straight the path. Get with somebody that you're not speaking to. Forgive. Make straight the path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, holiness without. No man can see Jesus. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spreads in your home, spreads in the church. Amen. And thereby many be defiled. Amen. As we stand to our feet, man, I'm telling you, Paul, even all that he went through, even all that he suffered, being bit, being beat, going through, even this chapter 11, I'm telling you. And this chapter 12, don't forget the exhortation that you are, if you're saved, that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of God, that you're fearfully, that you're wonderfully made, regardless of how you look. Don't get me wrong, it's all just good to do some stuff, amen. You know, look your best, be your best. But guess what? God made you. Regardless of what you think you should have, regardless of the husband that you think you should have or the wife, we've got to know that we're loved. And Paul said, I prayed 3 times in the middle of this storm that this thing might be removed. And I thank God, because in my book, it's all black letters except for when he answered Paul. You see them red letters come up. And he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in mine infirmities that the power of Christ, somebody say, might rest. And I'm telling you, you could go through something in your life, a storm or a test, And guess what? The thorn can still be there. The trial can still be there. The pain. Can still be there. But he says, my grace is sufficient. Most gladly, therefore, will I boast in my infirmities. That the what? Somebody say power. Power of Christ might rest upon you. He will keep you in perfect peace. You won't know how you're making it. Man, you'll be running and skipping and jumping through your house. Even with a bad doctor's report. His grace. Through dangerous toils and snares. I have already come. It's grace that brought me this far. And grace is going to lead me home. If there's somebody, and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, and you want to accept him into your heart, and thank God, amen, it's believing. It's believing that Jesus died for your sins. It's believing in the heart. But guess what? I can't stand and tell you if you're saved or you're unsaved. It's a personal decision that you got to make. But if there's somebody here and you want to make declaration, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you can come right now and accept him into your heart. I'm serious. Is there one? As the choir sings, is there one? Amen. Is there one? Is there one that would like to be restored? Broken relationship, broken fellowship. And you want to be restored, you can also come. You can also come. Amen. Amen. We can come around the altar for those who want prayer. We're going to close out. We're going to close out around the altar. Those who want prayer, you can also come. Come on.
You're glad he gave his life for us. Way back on Calvary, that's why we've got a reason to give God glory. That's why. Can we say that one more time? Thank you.